Oh, welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm happy to report that I am chatting again with Sean Broderick. He writes a monthly newsletter, which is called the Wealth Supercycle, and also a premium newsletter, which is called the Supercycle Investor. What Sean and I are going to do in this segment is discuss a lot of different resource and commodity sectors to get a general update on what Sean's looking at and where he sees opportunity and where he also thinks that, you know what, maybe you should be turning away from some of these sectors. Let's first start off with gold. Gold continues to seem strong in at least shorter term charts. Yes, I know the longer term chart, we've been stuck in this range for over 5 years now. But the fact of the matter is gold has been holding quite nicely in the upper part of its range in between about that 1280 to about that 1350 level. Sean, what are your thoughts on the gold sector right now?
Well, I think there are a few things actually driving it. One, we saw the People's Bank of China raise its reserves to 60.62 million ounces in March. I grabbed a chart off my Bloomberg terminal about that. I mean, they are building up their reserves, much like Russia is building up their reserves, much like these other countries are building up their reserves. And you have to wonder why they are doing so. And I think that feeds into the general nervousness that we are seeing geopolitically. I mean, we have Britain careening toward a Brexit, which could happen as early as Friday, though it probably won't. They'll probably have an extension, but it's still out there. It is problematic. We have President Trump raising the specter of slapping more tariffs on the EU because of the fight they're having over support for Airbus. He's also said that he might close the U.S. southern border, the one with Mexico. And I think the odds of that are higher than most people think. Most people say, no, that would be crazy. He wouldn't do that. Yes, he would if it accomplishes the goal that he wants. And so there is an element of fear working into the market due to all these things that could be chaotic, that might be chaotic, that will be chaotic, that are chaotic, like in Libya, which is having a massive civil war again. And so that, of course, is one of the major oil-producing nations in Africa. So because of all this chaos, it's priming the pump for gold. And I see gold coiling up right now. And I think the breakout is coming. And so for example, just moved my subscribers into another gold miner today because I think that move is going to be very good for certainly select gold mining stocks. And if the move is big enough, you know, a rising tide will lift all boats.
Yes, it will. And that's kind of what I think a lot of the stocks are waiting for, some sort of a breakout for gold so that more money flows into the stocks, because still it's been a very, very selective game as to which stocks are moving. Now, you did mention a lot of geopolitical potential issues that could help to drive the metal higher. Can we also talk about the U.S. dollar, though? Because the U.S. dollar holding right around that 97 level, that the argument can be made that that is also keeping a cap on any sort of a gold move. But there's still this debate whether you're U.S. dollar bullish or U.S. dollar bearish. Where do you stand?
I think that we've probably seen the highs for the U.S. dollar. Of course, it'll immediately rally to prove me wrong. But we have had this nice cap that's been in place since October, I think, or November. And it's near that high end of the range right now. And the thing that's going to affect the dollar going forward is President Trump is really pressuring the Fed to cut interest rates, maybe do some other kind of quantitative easing. And he gets to name two members to the Fed board. And I bet both of them will go in there quite willing to do whatever he wants. And that raises the odds that the Fed will do something. And if the market gets the feeling that the Fed is going to cut or take some other easing action like that, that will cut away support from under the U.S. dollar. So I expect to see the U.S. dollar go back and test support around the 95 area, which it has tested three times already since the beginning of the year, but maybe the fourth time is the charm. I'm not sure. Like I said, it is range bound, and this is the thing this is why many people find this market so frustrating, because the U.S. dollar is range bound, that makes precious metals range bound. But I think the real likelihood is we will see the U.S. dollar, because of what's happening with the Fed, we'll see the U.S. dollar start to head lower, and that's one of the forces that will also help push gold higher.
So when it comes to stocks that you're paying more attention to, are you looking at some of the larger miners, some of the mid-cap miners, or are you going down into some of the junior explorers?
Well, I think there's some real opportunity in the junior miner space. We've already seen some like consolidation, actually larger names, probably none of us would be merging right now, but the next ones on the table will probably be good junior miners with some real upside potential, you know, in the size of their resources and also their production. And let's face it, many of these gold companies have more cash than they know what to do with. So I expect consolidation in that area. So I'm actually looking at the junior mining space. Exploration wouldn't be bad, though. I mean, if you know of a company with a good size resource and it's growing that resource, that's another one that could certainly be on the table. So I'll actually look for the smaller end of the scale. I would have been wrong earlier when we saw these big companies get snapped up. But I think that's what's more likely to happen, is we are about to see that merger appetite move down the scale and snap up those smaller companies.
All right. Well, hopefully we do start to see that sooner rather than later, but I don't know. It's still been, I consider it relatively slow in the M&A activity, especially with the fact that we're not really seeing many bidding wars or any bidding wars right now. One other comment before we leave precious metals. What about silver, though? Silver really is struggling when you compare it to gold.
Yeah, well, I would be more bullish on gold because I'm like, you know, I am bullish, but I'm not super bullish. I'd be more bullish if we saw silver leading, because in a bull market, that's what you expect to see. You expect to see silver lead gold higher, because silver is like gold on like steroids, or maybe it is like the real drama queen of the precious metal space. And so as gold goes higher, silver should just be out there just, you know, running up, and it's not right now. And so that's what worries me. Now, there could be reasons for this, and one reason could be that it's the geopolitical fears. If it's fear driving this market, then yeah, you'll see gold go higher, because that's what investors automatically buy when they are scared. They don't buy silver so much. They buy gold. That said, we did see sales of like Silver Eagles, that kind of thing, drop off quite sharply last year. But in the early part of this year, it started to pick up again. So, you know, maybe investor buying will push silver along, will lead the way. Of course, we really need industrial activity to pick up in China. There have been some signs of that, but that will really drive silver, because it's used in things like solar panels and stuff like that. So we'll have to look for more of that, too.
And that also ties into copper. Let's get some comments on copper. Copper still seems kind of stuck below that $3 level. There are still a lot of kind of copper bulls out there, but quite frankly, you look at the recent report by the IMF, which cut their global growth forecast. To me, it's a hard train to jump on right now without any really sustainable or higher growth around the world. Where do you think copper's going?
Yeah, you know, if I had a dollar for every one of my friends, both online and in the flesh, that had told me, you know, look at copper, it's about to break out. Look at copper, it's about to break out. Well, if I had a dollar for every one of those, I could afford to buy a lot of copper, because it's been tracking sideways since February and it hasn't gone anywhere yet. Now, we have seen some moves in the miners, kind of makes you think that, you know what, maybe they're right, because usually miners lead the metal, right? And if you look at, say, Freeport McMoRan, it sure looks like it's trying to break out right now. I mean, it is down on the day as I'm speaking to you, but it's been in an uptrend since the early part of the year, and it seems to be pushing higher. So maybe the copper bulls are right. I would watch the stocks, though. They will lead the metal. And so we are seeing Freeport try and break out right now. Maybe it can do it. I have some friends who are already jumping on this copper bandwagon. I have places I'd rather put my money to work right now, not jump on the copper space. I guess I'm a little more cautious in that respect, but I can see their point. You know, I mean, if like China, which has been working so hard to reignite its economy, if it succeeds, or even if it just continues to throw money at all these big projects, right? Well, those big projects really require a lot of copper, all the huge infrastructure projects that they want to do, that kind of thing. And so, yeah, that will heat up copper demand. And so maybe they're right. It's just I'm still waiting for more evidence to come in.
All right. Let's now also switch it over to the energy sector. I've talked quite a bit about how oil has been on this nice run, and now it is due for some sort of a correction. But also the oil stocks and energy stocks in general have relatively lagged. Rather than just discuss where oil might be going, let's talk about how you think people could play or how you're playing the energy sector.
Well, in fact, I have a column coming out Tuesday afternoon on edelsoninstitute.com. It's our free website. And I talk about energy stocks as being one of the plays people should be really looking at. Now, I am talking my own book because I've been putting my subscribers into energy stocks that pay nice dividends because they pay you to wait. And they're beaten down so much. I mean, I have a chart there of the price to book of the S&P Energy Index divided by the price to book of the broad S&P, and it is way, way down. Energy stocks, as you said, have not rallied along with the rest of the market, and they haven't even rallied along with, like, energy prices. The price of oil is up 37% since the beginning of the year. Energy stocks as a whole are only up about 16%, so there's a real underperformance there, and if you're being paid to wait, it's something you don't mind waiting for it to actually ignite. But let me give your listeners one index in particular, which is the SPDR S&P Oil and Gas Equipment and Services ETF, symbol XES. This is one that I'm watching very closely because it looks like it's going to break out. And if it does, and it's still fairly cheap, then it could have quite the move. I mean, that could be back to $16 in rather quick time, and it's trading around 12 right now. For an index, that is not a bad move if it can do that. It still has to break out, but it looks like a breakout is forming. It's a very nice triangle there. And that's one that I would keep my eye on because that's indicative of what's going on in the energy sector. Now, I understand how you expect that there could be a pullback, and I'm hearing this from some very smart people. You know, they have to pull back and all this stuff. On the other hand, OPEC has been able to keep the lid on production. There is a civil war raging in Libya. Venezuela's production is falling off the table. The Russians are actually playing along with OPEC for now. And U.S. production may be peaking, or at least that's the view of some who are watching what's going on in the shale oil area. So, with all these things together, we could see higher oil prices, and it wouldn't surprise me to see the price of the U.S. oil benchmark hit $75 this year.
All right, a lot to consider there. Let's wrap it up with one other sector that you and I talk about sporadically. That is the cannabis sector. The stocks rebounded nicely after that fall at the tail end of last year. They're not back up to their all-time highs, or at least most of them aren't back up to their all-time highs, but what's your general takeaway? I know you were playing this sector a few months ago. Where do you stand now?
Yeah, well, we are playing the sector again. I'm looking for specific opportunities. For example, marijuana stocks that might be on the OTC market now, but they're going to uplist and move to the NASDAQ, that kind of thing. If you look at, say, the ETFMG, Alternative Harvest ETF, symbol MJ, which tracks a basket of leading marijuana stocks, that's having the same problem that many commodities are, in that it's just been moving sideways and it's been boring the heck out of people who are actually in this industry. And so I understand frustration of people who are looking at that, but there's a few things happening. One is that Canada is about to legalize edibles, and so that's going to be a big boost for many Canadian for like many Canadian companies that are actually focused on the edibles market or can shift their focus to the edibles market. That'll be very good. In the U.S., there's a new banking bill that's working its way through the Congress that could actually protect U.S. marijuana companies from interference that they'd received in banking in the past. So they hadn't been able to get real banking services. But if this law passes, then they'll be able to use the bank like a regular company. And so that would be great for those. We still have to remember that on a federal level, cannabis still hasn't been legalized in the U.S. I believe that's coming sooner rather than later. I actually had a column on that at the EdelsonInstitute.com recently where I talked about why I think President Trump, who is quite canny when it comes to politics, you'll have to admit, why it would be a smart move for him to actually legalize marijuana, how that would really take the wind out of the sails of his opponents. And so maybe he'll do that. There are a lot of factors out there that actually could push marijuana higher and could push the stocks that are involved in it higher. I think you have to be quite selective. And so I'm not saying you should throw money at the entire sector right now, but I think if you're picky, you can actually end up in a good place when the next rally comes, and it's definitely coming.
So do you think picky also means going for some of those larger companies, the ones with cash, the ones already that have some notice in the market?
Well, maybe. I mean, the problem is that many of them have run up so in excess of like their sales, you know, they're like price to sales is absurd. So I'm not even talking about revenues. When I'm saying picky, I might look at smaller companies. There are actually smaller companies in this space, by the way, that not only have sales, they have earnings. And the market hasn't really noticed that yet. There are also ones leveraged to things like CBD oil, which is going to have a great year, to things like edibles, stuff like that, that they might be running up right now, but they'll pull back a bit, and that's when you make your entry opportunity. Be really selective. I think you can do quite well. You just have to be careful with, you know, what you actually buy right now. But there is going to come a time in cannabis, like we have seen previously and like happens in any commodity now and then, where the rising tide lifts all the marijuana boats. You just want to own the best boats when that happens.
All right, we're going to wrap it up there. But Sean, it's always great chatting with you. If anybody wants more information on either of Sean's newsletters, feel free to email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will put you in touch with Sean and his team. In the meantime, Sean, have a great rest of your week. I look forward to chatting with you in another couple weeks.
Thanks very much.